39. "We're doomed! We're doomed!" Inkerman kept rocking himself back and forth as he sat under a tree. Yimt looked at him and made a noise and turned away.
"So much for his creator," the dwarf muttered, sitting down on the ground and idly running his fingers through the dirt.
Teeter and Scully were both sleeping, their snores a source of great interest to the elf who stood guard over them. To a being who could walk through a bed of crisp autumn leaves and not be heard, Alwyn figured, the soldiers must have sounded like a herd of murrifants.
"Do you think Miss Red Owl is right?" Alwyn asked.
The moon was slowly sliding down the sky, but dawn was still a couple of hours off. The heat of the forest had returned, but it wasn't as humid as before. Alwyn was trying and failing to direct his thoughts to everything but what he had seen in the clearing and having no success. Even the pain in his chest wasn't enough to distract him.
"What? That we're bespelled and all that? I'm not sure how to break it to you, Allie, but we ain't actually elves. That stuff only works on them."
"What about that oath we took in the vines? I didn't say anything, but I think I felt something happen, you know? And I saw one of... them."
"One of who?"
"One of hers. It was horrible. And it had a black ear tip, you know? One of the tainted ones. Sort of like Critton and the Major."
Yimt steepled his fingers.
"Rocks come in different shapes and sizes, Allie. You sure you didn't mix up seeing Critton and one of them beasties? People see all kinds of things in battle when they get worked up."
Alwyn shook his head.
"No rock shot these arrows. And you saw what happened to Alec and Buko. They're gone. But they aren't. Not really. Just like Mary."
Yimt sighed and rubbed his beard.
"No, I'm not saying nothing by this, but you are a bit of a sensitive fellow, Allie. You take things to heart a bit faster than the rest of us. You're the only one that thinks he saw Mary, or this black elf. And for all I know, Alec and Buko were buried somewhere else, and all that stuff out there was just a bit of show."
Alwyn felt his face flush.
"What, you think I'm lying?"
Yimt lifted up the leaf and moss bandage on his head and scratched at the raw skin underneath.
"Did I say you were a liar? I just said you've seen things the rest of us haven't. Maybe what they say is true, or maybe they're playing at games. Just because they get their wind up about the Shadow Monarch and all that doesn't mean we have to."
"But what about Mary and the others?"
Yimt stopped scratching for a moment.
"I'm not saying there ain't no such thing as ghosts. I just don't know that I buy into the rest of it is all. Maybe you really did see him, or his shade. Did he still have that snuff box in his eye socket? Now if he had that, I'd say it probably was him. I doubt many ghosts go around with one of them tucked into their skull. Good stuff, too. I meant to ask him what brand it was."
Alwyn stared at Yimt. Yimt stared back, one hand still half under his bandage.
"How can you not take this seriously, Yimt? She said we're bound to an eternity of serving in the regiment. An eternity!"
Yimt rolled his eyes and patted down his bandage. He looked around and snapped a small twig from a nearby bush. He started rubbing the broken end against his metal teeth. It made a high-pitched noise.
"Whether I take it serious or not doesn't really make a difference now, does it? If it's true, I don't see what getting all worked up about it will do. And if it ain't, then there was nothing to worry about in the first place."
The elf guarding them raised his eyebrows as Yimt dug at something stuck between a couple of molars. Alwyn nudged Yimt and motioned toward the elf.
"What?"
Yimt asked. He looked over at the elf, pulling the twig out of his mouth and waving it at him.
"Just polishing the silver," he said cheerfully, and went back to brushing his teeth.
"Trees," Alwyn whispered. "They really, really like trees."
Yimt pulled the twig out of his mouth and looked at it closer.
"What, this? It's just a little branch. No arm. And that ain't no tree nohow. More a really tall bushy weed, if you ask me."
"And what if they see it as a baby?"
Yimt paused in his oral hygiene and gave it some thought, chewing on the end of the twig as he did so. The elf appeared to be gripping his bow rather tightly. Finally, Yimt pulled the twig back out and jabbed it into the ground.
"Grow tall and proud, O weed of the forest," he said, blowing the twig a kiss.
"A most interesting blessing," came Che Yi's voice as she leaped down from a tree to stand beside them. "I was not aware dwarves cared for the trees of the world."
Yimt nodded solemnly.
"Oh, that we do, Miss Red Owl, that we do. Why, if you'd let me grab my shatterbow over there, I'll show you how nice I've kept the wood polished."
He made to get up, but the elf guarding them lifted his bow ever so slightly, and Yimt settled back on the ground. Elwyn cringed. Yimt might just charm them straight into eternal shadow.
"It is a most curious weapon, and well kept, but the mixing of iron and wood has killed its spirit. I am saddened by the loss, as I am for all the brothers and sisters that died to make the other weapons you carried."
"Killed its spirit? Not in the least!"
Yimt stuck out his chest a little, clearly proud of his shatterbow.
"Little Nipper there fires as true as the day my aunt bought it, and that was more than 50 years ago. Sure, it doesn't have quite the distance it once had, but after 50 years, what can you expect?"
Che Yi reached behind her back and brought forth her bow. Alwyn had that strange feeling again that someone or something was there with them.
"This was given to me by Myrak Fa, he who brushes the sky, over 100 years ago."
She flexed the bow in her hands. It bent and then sprang back like a new sapling. Yimt nodded his approval.
"As an admirer of form, I feel safe in saying you're both in fine shape."
"They'll find us in tiny little pieces."
Before Alwyn could apologize for Yimt, Che Yi laughed. She sat down in front of them, lightly jabbing one end of her bow into the earth beside the twig Yimt had just planted. Alwyn noticed the bow wasn't strung and wondered what kind of string the elves might use.
"I will show you,"
Che Yi said, placing her hands in the dirt to either side of the bow and twig. Alwyn barely jumped this time as the elf answered his unasked question.
"Show us what?" Yimt asked.
Alwyn shushed him and pointed to the twig in front of them. It began to tremble, and then tiny green shoots sprouted from it. They waved about in the air for a moment like a many-headed snake, and then began to grow upward, twining themselves together as they climbed up the bow. When they reached the top, they uncoiled from the bow itself so that they hung down straight between the ends, where more green shoots had wrapped themselves. Slowly, gently, they began to tighten, spinning themselves into one incredibly fine string. The vines gleamed silvery green as they spun themselves together, bending the ends of the bow closer together until the vine string was taut. Che Yi brought out a small wooden blade and lightly parted the newly grown bowstring from the twig, and lifted the bow from the dirt, handing it to Yimt to inspect.
"It's as warm as fresh bread," he said, running his hands lightly over the bow.
He placed a couple of fingers on the string and pulled back, grunting in surprise.
"That's incredible. If I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, I wouldn't have believed it. Allie, give this a try."
Alwyn looked at Che Yi, who nodded her approval. He took the bow from Yimt and immediately felt the warmth in the wood. He felt something else, too, or maybe heard something. Whatever it was, he liked it. He wrapped his fingers around the string and pulled, or rather tried to pull, the pain in his chest too much.
"The draw weight on that will put little Nipper to shame," Yimt said, shaking his head. "That's some mighty fine magic."
Alwyn handed Che Yi back her bow.
"What you call magic, we call being one with the natural order. To understand the life around you is to be part of it, and it a part of you."
Yimt nodded noncommittally.
"And you're doing a damn fine job of it, too. Now, I hate to be rude after all the help you gave us, especially in saving young Allie there from death's door, but I was wondering if we might grab our kit and be on our way. We've got a job to do, and Major Osveen will have my hide if I'm late."
Shayi looked pensive at the mention of the Major's name. A lantern went on in Alwyn's head.
"The Major is an elf. You don't happen to know him, do you, ma'am?"
She gave a wistful smile that made Alwyn regret asking.
"I did at one time. It has been many years since I last saw him."
Yimt slapped the ground with the flat of his hand.
"He's a wild one, no doubt about it, but a damn fine officer, and I've seen a bunch. You'd think that witch of his would tame him, but she seems to do the opposite. Two of them fight like a pair of razorback dragons in a sack."
Chayi's smile vanished.
"Witch? What witch?"
Alwyn turned to catch Yimt's eye, but the dwarf was off on one of his tangents.
"An elf Koinen witch, to be exact. Miss Vecina Tekoi. Pretty little thing, too. Got some power. Put on quite a light show a week or so back. You know, give her a bow and arrow and a set of those fancy clothes you have, and you'd be hard-pressed to say she wasn't an elf."
"The elf Koinen are not elves," Chayi said.
The ice in her voice was crystal clear to Alwyn, but Yimt remained oblivious.
"Elves would not leave a forest untended like this. The land grows strange, and an illness pervades it."
As Miss Red Owl talked, Alwyn couldn't help but think she sounded an awful lot like Miss Tekoi, but he kept that to himself.
"They have forsaken the stewardship that is their birthright. These forests are yet children in this world, and should not have been left alone to fend for themselves."
"Children? There must be trees in here hundreds of years old,"
Alwyn said, looking around him in true awe.
"There are wolf folks in the deepest parts of our home that were there when the light of the first morning rose over the Muxta'ul,"
Chayi said, a reverential tone in her voice.
"Oh."
Chayi turned back to Yimt.
"You said they fight."
Yimt chuckled and nodded.
"The Major and Mr. Coy? Only when they see each other. It was like that when I was courting my sweet Amag. We used to squabble over everything."
Alwyn looked at the dwarf in surprise. Yimt married? He'd never mentioned anything about a sweet Amag before.
"Does she goad him to act against his better judgment?" Chayi asked.
"Not exactly. More like they both have ideas about what's the right way to do something, and neither one is the same. Always on about the Empire and nature, too. This is evil, that is backward. Bit of a bore, really. I gather she wants him to be more elfish, you know, like you lot. Well, he would just as soon polish his musket. He may be an elf and all, but unlike her, you put a bow and arrow in his hands, and I think he'd probably use it to start a fire."
"Yimt was going to get them all killed yet."
Alwyn watched Chayi, looking for the first sign of trouble, but all she did was sit there. She brought a hand to her face and wiped away a tear.
"He's a good officer,"
Alwyn blurted out. He was surprised to hear himself say it, but it was true. The Major got off his horse whenever he could to walk among the men, checking to see that things were in order, but also to see that they were taken care of. They barely saw the prince and too much of their sergeants, but the Major seemed to know when to show up and when not to. Looking back on it now, the flogging of Corporal Critton didn't conjure up the same dark feelings it had before. If he ever saw that elf again, he'd gladly finish the other lashes.
"Allie's telling you the truth. The Major is one of the better ones. In fact,"
Yimt said, coughing politely and looking again at his shatterbow on the rock in the clearing,
"he's expecting to see us at Lugath Jor. We were on our way there when them rocks attacked us, but I'm guessing you know all about what's going on. If you'd care to come along, you'd get a chance to see him, and the witch, too. Maybe you could talk some sense into them. Seems like they could be a nice couple if they could see eye to eye a bit more."
"Perhaps they have different opinions on the Eastern Star,"
Chiyi remarked. Alwyn avoided Yimt's look. The dwarf blinked a couple of times and then sighed.
"That was supposed to be a secret. But as it's out in the open, I don't suppose there's much point in denying it."
The elf rose from the forest floor in one fluid motion.
"We will accompany you, Yimt of the Warm Breeze. Prepare your men for the road. We travel at once."
With that, Chiyi walked into the forest and disappeared from sight. Bird calls rang out, and the trees around them rustled in response.
"You heard the lady. Let's get cracking," Yimt said,
jumping to his feet and helping Alwyn to his.
"Inkerman, make yourself useful and get Teeter and Scully up. And you ain't doomed until I tell you you're doomed."
Inkerman quit mumbling and did as Yimt said. Teeter and Scully were quickly roused, and the survivors of Three Section were soon armed and ready. Alwyn had to sling his musket over his right shoulder. His chest was in agony despite whatever spells or potions the elves must have used to heal him, and he seriously doubted he could make it all the way to Lugath Jor.
"Drink this," Irkyla said, appearing at his side and handing him a gourd. "It will lighten your feet for the coming journey."
"What is it?"
"Rokar. Tree's blood."
Alwyn backed away.
"I'm not drinking blood. I don't care where it came from."
Irkyla pursed her lips and called out to another elf nearby. After a short exchange, she turned back to Alwyn with a smile on her face.
"My use of your language is not as precise as it could be. I believe you call this sap."
Alwyn let out a breath and held out his hand to accept the gourd. Other elves were offering the rest of Three Sections similar gourds, so it couldn't be that bad. He removed the bark plug from the top of the gourd and took a drink. The sap, and Alwyn was sure it was more than just that, was cool and fresh, a wonderful mix of sweet and tang. Unlike the drake sweat Yimt preferred, this immediately made him feel better without trying to burn a hole in his stomach. He tried to hand the gourd back to Irkyla, but she shook her head.
"Keep it and drink from it when you have need. We will not rest until we reach our destination."
"Thanks," Alwyn said. He walked over to where the others were standing.
"Oh, I feel 20 years younger,"
Yimt said, rubbing a sleeve across his beard as he took another drink from his gourd.
"Mix in a bit of 12-year-old solo brandy, and you'd have the perfect elixir for what ails you. Probably sell it for quite a coin, too."
Inkerman still held his gourd in his hands, not yet taking a drink.
"If they were going to poison you, they would have done it by now," Yimt said,
motioning with a thumb toward the elves.
"Drink it."
Inkerman shook his head and held the gourd out to Yimt.
"No spirits, except the grace of the Creator, shall pass into my body."
He half expected Yimt to knock Inkerman flat, but instead Yimt just smiled and took the gourd.
"You better keep up, or you'll have a gullet full of arrows in your backside, along with his grace. Teeter, Scully, you watch the right side. Allie and me will take the left. The saint can keep an eye to the sky for divine intervention. Them rocks are still out there, and so is Critton. And some other creatures, too," he added, nodding at Alwyn. "Odds are these elves will see them long before we do, but you keep looking anyway."
Irkyla reappeared and motioned for them to follow her. Alwyn put his shako on his head and then turned back to make sure they hadn't left anything behind. The rock in the clearing was bare. Satisfied, he started after Irkyla, and then remembered the black arrows. Before he could ask, he saw them sticking out of the top of Yimt's knapsack.
"They'll see the arrows," he said, grabbing Yimt by the arm and bending down to whisper in his ear.
Yimt paused in the middle of putting a pinch of croot in his mouth.
"Who do you think gave them to me? Allie, I know how to mind my manners among the fey folk."
"They gave them to you? Why?"
"Miss Red Owl said something about never leaving a weapon on a battlefield."
"She said that?" Alwyn asked.
Yimt shrugged his shoulders.
Well, that's the gist of it. There was something about dark magic and perversion of nature and the like, but it all adds up to the same thing. Don't leave a weapon around for your enemy to find and use against you.
Alwyn couldn't argue with that logic, but he suspected there was probably a lot more to it. He looked ahead and saw that the elves were already through the clearing and disappearing into the woods. Irkada motioned for them to hurry. He lengthened his stride, surprised at how well he felt. For someone who had just been shot by an arrow, and probably a cursed one at that, he was keeping up. The elves of the Long Watch could teach the army surgeons a thing or two, though he couldn't really imagine a human doctor using leaves and moss.
"Besides,"
Yimt continued, setting off at a slow trot while readjusting the bandage under his shako with one hand,
"I think she might be a bit sweet on me. Did you hear how she called me Warm Breeze?"
To his credit, Alwyn nodded and said nothing, wondering whether it was worth telling Yimt that the elf had politely suggested he was full of hot air.